Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown, here with co-host Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we'll be bringing you political performance artist Reverend Billy preaching from the pulpit of his church of Stop Shopping and Stop Bombing with a special sermon for the people of Maine. But first, these updates.
Peace Through Inter-American Community Action, PICA, is inviting the public to their annual auction fundraiser for Bangor's sister city, Carrasque, in El Salvador. Proceeds will support local and regional projects benefiting Carrasque, as well as PICA's two other projects, the Clean Clothes Campaign and Youth Alentando, Youth Going Forward. For more information on this holiday shopping with a conscience, silent auction, or PICA's projects, you may call Deborah Brooks at 947-4203 or 942-1524. The auction will be this Saturday, December 1st, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church at 120 Park Street in Bangor.
A forum called Real Security will be held on Saturday, December 8th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Neville Hall, University of Maine in Orono. The forum, co-sponsored by the Maine Peace Action Committee and the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine, will feature a panel exploring the nature of security in light of the terrorist attacks on September 11th and the war on terrorism declared by Bush. The panel will be followed by a question and answer period and discussion groups focusing on continuing education and outreach. The discussion will include how to build for a real security hearing planned for February or March to highlight the impact of U.S. military priorities on foreign policy on local resources needed in our community. The panelists include Douglas Allen, Department of Philosophy, speaking about the root causes of U.S. insecurity; Elizabeth McKillen, Department of History, on redefining America's quest for national security; and Michael Howard, Department of Philosophy, with a discussion called Playing Russian Roulette with Innocent Lives. For more information, you can call 942-9343.
There will be an Advent Vigil for Peace at Bath Ironworks at the Administration Building on Saturdays, December 1st, 8th, 15th and 22nd from 11 a.m. to noon. For more information, call George and Maureen Kehoe Austinson at 338-4776.
You might like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite, but the long thing of her you got to serve somebody.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord. You got to serve somebody.
Reverend Billy is an actor, activist, performance artist from New York City who has fused art and activism in an unorthodox way. He established his Church of Stop Shopping to deliver a mix of comedic and editorial-rich commentary on current political issues. Dressed as such, Reverend Billy has given people cause to double-take as he has performed for audiences in and out of his theater. He has gained notoriety in the city and beyond for his put-on preachings on the streets, at demonstrations, or at corporate stores such as Disney or other locations that have become his church's target. Equipped with a backup choir or other musicians, his theater productions offer audiences a multi-layered and energetic show. After the performance, the audience is invited to some sort of public display of protest. For example, in a show last year celebrating the city's community gardens and mourning a developer's bulldozing of Esperanza Garden in Manhattan's Lower East Side, the audience walked down the street to plant seeds in an empty lot. Reverend Billy came to Maine last month as one of the speakers for Jim Hightower's new Chautauqua. In light of so-called Buy Nothing Day, the day after Thanksgiving, which asks people to reflect on consumerism, we spoke with Reverend Billy by phone. We asked him to give the perspective of the Church of Stop Shopping, currently called the Church of Stop Bombing, and to talk with us about his performance tactics to address consumerism and corporatization, and his perspectives on the current situation in Afghanistan. I've recently been reading headlines about people showing their patriotism in these times by shopping. recently a headline, I believe. Actually, I wish, Amy, you were on mic, too. What was this headline that you just saw?
It said, "Shoppers pack a patriotic punch," and it showed a picture of 1,000 people outside our local Walmart at 6 o'clock in the morning on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
One guy had been there since 1 a.m.
Oh, that's so sad.
So we were wondering what your thoughts are on this patriotism, showing your patriotism by shopping, and some of the things that you've been working on and talking about down there.
My first response is, it's interesting that the bombings of 9/11 and the subsequent war fever, it's interesting that this has brought us back to this point where it must be made clear what patriotism is. We were brought back to a standstill, and we had to start our action afresh. And Giuliani and Bush, they said outright, show your patriotism by shopping. Giuliani recently addressed a trade group here in New York City, and he said, yes, we have the freedom to shop. It's one of our greatest freedoms, the freedom to shop. It's such a remarkable, as a person who's been trying to point out for some time that we in this country seem to want to express ourselves exclusively by commodified gestures, by shopping. It's remarkable that Bush and Giuliani are saying exactly that. And now I'm kind of looking around and I'm wondering, hey, fellow citizens, here it is, just as baldly put as you could hope for. Reject it. Of course, the patriotism is a much deeper, more intimate, more meaningful gesture than shopping. Shopping is a very shallow hit. It's the acquisition of a product as a result of an advertising seduction, and you have that product for a while, and after a while, and sometimes it's a matter of seconds after you leave the store, you discover that your product isn't giving you the happiness that was promised, isn't giving you the sex that was promised, isn't giving you the longevity, the Garden of Eden-like new paradise that the advertising promised. The product doesn't deliver. No, shopping is not patriotism. I just reject that out of hand, and I'm doing everything I can to point out to people that this is a con. Don't go back to that point. Get off the merry-go-round. Let's live within our means and start a sustainable economy. Hallelujah! I'm starting to preach here. Watch out.
Okay.
I'm standing up now. I'm pacing in my apartment. Where's my pulpit? Oh, I've got several pulpits in my apartment, you know.
Always on hand.
I collect them, yes. I find them in little thrift shops and stuff.
Tell us, you've been doing some preaching down there lately. What has your venue been, and what have you been preaching to your sheep down there?
He has sheep.
Using a Christian
flock.
That's a Christian metaphor.
Yes.
No, my feeling is we really have to get past. I'm really sick of these adolescent boy gods. I'm really, Christ's dad and Jehovah and Allah have all been letting us down. It seems like there are these raging wars around the world. Somehow, the right wing of each of those three gods has taken over the economies and the military might of those three cultures. You think about the fact that each of those religions in their holy texts have a heartfelt argument for peace. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, all three of those god systems have produced these very sad, heartbreaking wars. In our recent Reverend Billy shows down here, we've been reaching past Christ's daddy and Jehovah and Allah, trying to get to a new god goddess that, you know, won't inspire us to kill the, you know, won't inspire us to think that, hey, I'm of the chosen people and you're not, and therefore I'm going to bomb you, and therefore I'm afraid of you, and I'm going to characterize you in a racist way. And it seems like each of the gods is bombing the other two right now. You've got tanks in Bethlehem, You've got Batmobiles flying all the way from Missouri to Afghanistan on, you know, we're using that cheap gas, you know, you don't have to even refuel, go around the world, drop bombs from so high up in the air you can't even see the things, and then call it precision bombing in the press, but of course you're hitting Red Cross hospitals and killing civilians on a regular basis. These are religious wars. People, individuals, are self-censoring right now. They think that is patriotism. That may be why they're stopping thinking that's defending their country. So we have to open it up. We have to bring people back to complexity, the full humanity that you may have, even the ambivalence you may feel. That should be rising to the surface right now. If it does, there's a better chance of peace having a visceral feeling. Peace is a concept that seems to have become distant somehow. It's abstract. It's not present, like fun, like great thinking, like sex, like it's not. You can't feel peace right now. It's gone away for a lot of people. That's why you have so many liberal friends. Has this happened to you? Liberal friends, you think of them as being progressive, and they're coming up to you and they're going, I don't know, you know, you got to do something. I mean, Bin Laden, I mean, I don't know, what are you going to do? I mean, yeah, maybe kill a few civilians, but you got to do something. I mean, what are you going to do? He's evil, so, bombing, yeah. You know, we've had this shrug of the shoulders and this outrageous inability to make distinctions. Why not have an international justice system that goes and gets the man? And you really have to bomb the whole country to do this? You really have to, like, manage the entire political landscape out there to do this, from Pakistan into southern Russia? I think that, you know, you've got Osama bin Laden. I mean, he's scum. I'm not defending him. I mean, I would never argue that Osama bin Laden is superior to, say, Jerry Falwell. You know, Jerry Falwell said that the towers came down and it was God's bomb, and we were being bombed by God because we're gay and we're feminists and we believe in reproductive rights. You know, I think that Jerry and Osama are, we have to have an international justice system that gets them both. I mean, they are both, they're both criminals. They're absolutists and they're dangerous. You know, Jerry's somewhere in Virginia. I understand he's on the move again. He's in the caves of the Blue Ridge Mountains. We've got to get him. Of course we've got to get him. But don't bomb Charlottesville. Don't bomb Richmond. You know, don't send out predator drones that they might mistake Monticello for Jerry Falwell's forehead or something, and you destroy that wonderful architecture. Come on. Just go get him. Go get Jerry and put him in jail. Take him and Osama to the Hague. And, you know, they can put them in a cell together, and maybe they can become lovers.
Reverend Billy, we saw on your webpage a link that we didn't get a chance to click on, and then my computer got eaten by a virus. But it says, what should I do if Reverend Billy is in my store? And we're just wondering, what should somebody do if you're in the store?
Well, that's an excerpt from a Starbucks memo that was sent to the New York managers of Starbucks. We have like 140 of them now. We'll go up to Starbucks at Cooper Union, just a few blocks uptown from the theater, and do a little preaching, hand out some information, try to get people to put down that latte, child. Save your soul. Walk away from the product. You're sinning, my child. Put down that latte. Put down that iced grande mochaccino. Hallelujah.
So the Starbucks people have a memo about how to handle it when you show up and start doing that?
Oh, yes. You're supposed to, like, take a deep breath and ask me to leave, call the police.
Now, Disney has been a big target of you as well. You want to tell us a little bit about the beginning of the Church of Stop Shopping and some of your earlier inspirations for this sort of political activism slash performance slash religion?
Slash religion, slash politics. I think that one thing that I like to do is I like people not to be able to give me a static context. If you call something, you point your finger at something and say that's that art form or that's that professional business, or that's that kind of person. People in this postmodern era, they'll have less of an experience. They'll stop assigning themselves risk. They'll say, "This is not an adventure anymore. I know what that is." So it's a comic church service. It's politics. It's theater. It's religion, and it's all three. And it sort of spins, and you can't put your finger on it. And as a result, it becomes more interesting. You find yourself sort of floating forward weightlessly into this invented ritual. So, and my predecessors, Andy Kaufman, the Yippies, ACT UP is very important to me. The Living Theater, people who go out into public space and redefine it, Artaud, Lenny Bruce.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a combination of going out into the streets as well as inviting people into your theater and then proceeding with some sort of activity afterwards.
Yes, we have plays that we perform in, say, the Disney Store in Times Square, and we send out a press release to the theater critics and so forth, and we say this is our new play, and come to our opening. And the address of the play, of course, is the Disney Store. So we said, this is our theater, and in fact, it is such a charged space. You go into the Disney Store, you got 800 myths, 800 characters looking up at you with their neurotic, grimacing, grinning faces, and each one of them represents books, major feature films, I call it the high church of retail. When suddenly there are some artists who are shouting something,
yes.
"You leave the store! Don't pick up that sweatshop product! Mickey Mouse is the Antichrist! Save your souls, children!" It's really startling because to oppose the Disney transnational hush of the place, which is so well crafted and so moneyed, people practically fall down, or they become paralyzed and stand there grinning.
And your message has been about sweatshop labor abuse, but also about consumerism in general, or what has the prime message been, say, in the Disney Store?
Well, Disney is such an abusive corporation that you really have an enormous bouquet of issues to choose from Eisner's, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year to certainly sweatshop labor abuses, the symbolism for women that is represented with Snow White, and so it just goes on and on and on. What we like to do is when I'm going up there after a show or something, we're going to have an action. I'll hand out cell phones to like a dozen or 15 people, and each person has an issue. Each person chooses a Disney issue, and then we'll go up there and we'll all act like we're shoppers. Of course, I can't go in. I'll stay outside around the corner waiting. But people go in, and they're shoppers. And each one of them has the assignment. This is the description of their assignment. They are there to buy a gift for a niece, but they're starting to have second thoughts about it. And the second thoughts have to do with a particular issue about the Disney. And they'll call their wife or their boyfriend, or they'll call the mother of the child that they're getting the gift for. They'll call someone and start discussing why they have an objection to this particular product. And for instance, somebody might say, there used to be, for 25 years there was this diner across the road here, and I just read that Disney's lawyers marched them out of here, that they had some sort of manifest destiny deal with the city, and they've turned this place into Las Vegas. Have you been here lately? And then everybody among the 15 people have a rap that they've been studying in the subway on their way up to the store. And what I coach them to do, sometimes I'll send them in with a theater director who kind of, is like a maestro directing them. They gradually get angrier and angrier, pretending that the person on the other side of the line is saying, "Look, just go buy this Goofy, will you? It's a great little dog. Buy the Goofy." and then when I walk in and start preaching, it's when it's all the everything's been revealed, and you've got 15 people shouting in a Wagnerian, you know, at the top of their lungs. You've got 15 different people shouting with Disney, their Disney issues, and then I'll walk in and wrap it up with some.
How do you wrap it up?
Some of my own preaching. Oh, the Mickey Mouse Antichrist kind of talk. The talk about what's happened to the neighborhood as a result of Disney sweatshop abuses. I'll do many of the issues, and then we'll have people at the door watching for the cops.
Reverend Billy, from the pulpit of the Church of Stop Shopping, had these words for the people of Maine.
Children, what we must do in the great state of Maine, we must reclaim, remember, bring back to the viscera of our body's memory that complicated, wonderful skein of conversations that took place on our main streets, that took place out on the curb, that throng moving by one another, that first name basis, that loving knowledge of each other's lives that we have enjoyed, that has been cast asunder by the fluorescent, echoey barn of Walmart. Evil, hellish Walmart, a succubus, a leech field of lost imagination, blooming, surrounded by cars, out there in lost farmland, outside of town. But children, there is hope. The march of the Walmart across our pristine conifer, lovely countryside will be reversed. I know what we will do with those great Walmart structures when finally we see the light, we save our souls, and we just stop going there. We will bring the old bombers. The old bombers that we no longer use. The old C-5A cargo planes. The old Batmobile planes. The old radar planes. They can read a license plate from 2 miles away. We're going to take all those bombers from Afghanistan. And we're going to put them inside the empty Walmarts. And then we'll bring our children there. They'll be instructive museums of peace, and from Wall Street, from our slower, more human conversations that we once again have on the main streets of our lovely towns and cities, we'll recall the long ago day when we were screwed up, we were drunk, we were slathering and drooling with products up and down the impossible aisles of the Walmart. Think about it fondly as the day we outgrew. We don't have to do that anymore. Children, put your hands on the radio now. Meredith and Amy, put your hands on the dials. Let's pray. Let's pray to the God that is beyond Christ's Daddy and Jehovah and Allah. Beyond the adolescent gods that love war and love products. That new God goddess that's out there so far away, so mysterious. It's the thing inside of us, the thing that ordinary people have if we just accessed it, baby. Let's ask that our fantasy today become real. Put those products we don't need and those bombs in boxes somewhere, and don't use them. Amen.
For more information about Reverend Billy and his performances, you can check his website, which is www.revbilly.com, or call the box office for tickets if you're going to be in New York City. The number there is 212-253-9983.
Living in the wasteland of the free. running races on corporate cash. Now don't tell me they don't turn around and kiss them people's ass. You may call me old-fashioned, that don't fit my picture of a true democracy. It feels like what I'm living in the wasteland of free. We got CEOs making 200 times the workers' pay. But they'll fight like hell against raising the minimum wage. If you don't like it, mister, they'll ship your job to some third world country across the sea. And it feels like I am living in the wasteland of the free. Living in the wasteland of the free. We got little kids with guns fighting inner city wars. So what do? We put these little kids behind prison doors. We call ourselves the advanced civilization. We got high school kids running around in Calvin Klein and Guess, who cannot pass a sixth grade reading test. But if you ask them, they can tell you name of every crotch on 15 feet. It feels like going living in the wasteland. We kill for oil, then we throw a party when we win. Some guy refuses to fight, we call that the sin. Yeah, he's standing up for what he believes in. That seems pretty damn American to me. It feels like I am living in the wasteland of free.
That was Iris Dement, Wasteland of the Free. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots social justice and environmental news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco
and Amy Brown.
We'd like to thank Helen York for engineering support, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at the station or at radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can hear archived Radioactive programs by following the links at www.maine.indymedia.org. Please join us again next Thursday and stay tuned for Free Speech Radio News, then Democracy Now! In Exile.